When we started LCC Connect in 2022, our aim was to create a podcast network that connects our college with the community and our community with the college. Since then, we've expanded to offer more than 30 podcasts, all of which are hosted by members of Lansing Community College or folks within our community. This is Dedalian. I'm the general manager for LCC Connect, and joining me on today's episode is Paige Dunkel, an actor, director, and educator who has spent more than four decades bringing theater to life. Her new podcast joins the LCC Connect network on Tuesday, April 7th. It's called Exit Stage Left, LCC Performing Arts. While the main focus of the show will be to shine a spotlight on LCC's performing arts scene, it will also extend beyond LCC, exploring the people, stories, and creative energy that makes the arts so vibrant on both our campus and throughout our community. And now, let's go behind the scenes to find out what's happening behind the connection.
What part of Arkansas are you originally from?
Little Rock.
Little Rock, so the capital?
Yes. I was pretty much there almost my entire life until I went to grad school.
So what originally brought you to Michigan, and do you consider yourself a Michigander now?
I do. I've lived here for over 30 years, so I'm a Michigander. Yeah, and when I got out of graduate school, I applied for theater education director at Boar's Head Theater when that was still around. That was the professional theater in Lansing for many, many years with John Peaks, and was the education director there. That's what brought me to Michigan.
Hmm. Gotcha.
Yeah.
And was there a point in your life where you went, oh, goodness, theater is really what I love? Like, was there a point when you were a kid, or what was it that sparked it and made you go, wow, this is awesome. This is what I want to do.
Well, I also got a bachelor's degree in journalism. So when I was in Little Rock, after I got out of undergrad, I worked as a reporter for the Arkansas Gazette. And I did that for about 3 years and was also doing like a working with a theater group in Little Rock. And I just loved it so much. And so I started applying to graduate schools to get my MFA in directing. And so I quit my job as a reporter, went to graduate school and, you know, in directing, and never looked back.
So it was a little bit later in life.
It was, yeah. I mean, I always did. I got a bachelor's degree in theater, too. Mm-hmm. So I was doing both and, you know, trying to think about, oh, you know, what most adults and parents say, you can't make a living in theater. You need to have a backup career so you can actually live. So, and I did enjoy journalism quite a bit. I love it. And I still use, you know, a lot of those tools, but just wanted to do theater and been doing it ever since.
So you've got a background both in theater and journalism. How does that help you to tell stories?
I think that, I mean, starting with the basic foundation of print journalism, which was what I was doing, print mm-hmm. journalism, not broadcasting, but you start with the most important thing. You know, it's like that inverted pyramid they teach you in print journalism. You know, you write your lead. That's what's going to draw the people in mm-hmm. to read the story. And then as you go down, it gets less important because, you know, most people don't read the entire article, but they'll read the first half of it.
No, that is true.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you kind of made a switch, a career switch almost.
Mm-hmm.
Was there a point where all of a sudden you said, you know, like maybe you were in a production, a rehearsal, something like that, where you said, wow, this is exactly why I love doing this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the experimental theater company that I was working with when I got out of undergrad school, they were just doing all of these freaky shows, just wonderful adaptations of bizarre things. And mm-hmm. and I did a one-woman show there, and that was terrifying and exhilarating at the same time.
What was the show?
It was called, oh my gosh, I know, I'm just blank.
That's the way it always works, isn't it?
It is, yeah. But it was a one-woman show about a woman, of course, and the different, I guess, phases of her life. She was a little cuckoo nuts, but it was a great show, and, you know, I loved that. And then mm-hmm. I thought, well, I want to direct, you know. I like acting, but I want to direct, so.
So out of the two, you prefer directing to acting or not?
I do prefer directing, but I think that's also why I love education, you know, working with people who may be unsure mm-hmm. of what they're doing and kind of guiding them through that process and helping them to see on their own, you know, and to develop characters on their own.
Gotcha. Yeah. So the podcast that you're going to be doing, it's called Exit Stage Left, LCC Performing Arts. It goes beyond that. We'll dive into that a little bit more in just a moment. But first, what exactly was the motivation other than me going, hey, you want to do a podcast? What was the motivation behind doing the podcast?
Well, I just thought, you know, we do so many performances and events at LCC. Mm-hmm. And we are so, like I said, that community that is theater. And a lot of our students perform and audition and work at area community theaters. I just thought more people need to know about that. What we bring to the community and what's out in the community as far as performing arts go.
Yeah, we do have a lot of good stuff that's happening. And I'm not going to say not enough support, but you'd like to see those seats full as often as possible, right?
Absolutely. And we've been trying to do that, too, by offering free admission for the last two seasons. And that really has helped bring people in and let them be exposed to really great creative art.
Right, right. You know, obviously this is in part for students, but who else would you say this is for, this podcast specifically?
It's for the community, too. It's for students and the community just so they know what's going on and where to go. So hopefully it covers a variety of topics that people may be interested in or curious about as far as, you know, what classes and courses that we offer, what creative arts classes we have, in addition to theater, also music and cinema and art and dance. So, and then also what's offered in the community.
So what types of classes are we currently offering here at LCC?
Well, we're offering, I mean, a variety of theater classes from improv to Shakespeare, movement, voice.
Is the improv one, is that fairly new?
That's been around.
Has it really?
It has been around, okay. But we have we've had a lot of community people sign up for that.
Mm-hmm. I've actually thought about doing that myself. So,
yeah, you should. So, and then, you know, we have, of course, the intro to acting and stage voice. Mm-hmm. We have dance classes, movement. We have a great cinema program here. And music is phenomenal. The jazz band, all of those ensembles that are open for the public to take, you know, at a reduced price because they can do it through adult ed.
Yeah.
You know, rock band and concert choir and jazz band. So there's so many opportunities.
Absolutely. Would hate to get off track a little bit more, but you mentioned rock band and
right.
and some of those other things. I mean, there are a lot of different events that take place throughout the year here at LCC. But what's a typical year like as far as the performances we offer? What are they?
Oh, my gosh. So many. Well, we have four season shows. That's the two in Dart Auditorium, two in the Black Box. And then in addition to that, we have studio shows, which are like finals for classes. Mm-hmm. So the beginning studio, that's a public performance at the end of the semester. Mm. We have Shakespeare Studio, which is also a public performance at the end of the semester. And then we have all of our music ensembles perform public concerts towards the end of the semester. And we've got Fall Swing Fling, which the jazz band does. That's a fairly new event. I'm sure there's others that summer. We got summer season.
Yeah, Summer Stage Under the Stars, right?
Summer Stage Under the Stars. We do two shows for that as well.
Very good. What makes that event so special?
The Summer Stars?
Yeah, because it is. It's kind of a different vibe, I guess.
It is. It's been around for so long. It used to be called the Turner House Festival.
Uh-huh.
When we still had the Turner House, the actual Turner House, sitting up on top of the hill.
Yeah.
So, and that's been around for, that festival's been around probably for 50, 60 years, maybe. Mm-hmm. But once the Turner House was demolished, we went to Summer Stage Under the Stars. And we try to do a classical piece out there, either a Shakespeare or some other, you know, period piece that people don't normally get to see.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we do like children's theater out there, which I love. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it got me off track. I got a little curious there. Okay. So, I mean, mainly because, again, I think you guys put on so many good productions, and it's one of those things where, hey, I've got the moment. I want to get the word out there about it. So, and that's partly what this podcast is all about, too, right?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
So what kind of conversations can listeners expect here, and who are some of the folks that you're going to be talking to on the program?
Well, I'm trying to do a really wide variety of guests, not only from LCC, but from in the community. So I've got a couple of theater professors lined up, Chris Rollins with the rock band, playing classical guitar, which I didn't know he did that. So I was like, you got to play on this podcast. And then I've got planned one of the film instructors to come in and talk about what he does with students and how they create short films. And I would love to have also, I do have lined up some alumni from our program who are working in theater in the community, and then also people from the theater who are in the community but not necessarily at LCC.
Mm. Yeah, sounds like a good lineup, and I actually got the chance to sit in on the Chris Rollins episode.
Yeah.
And, I didn't realize he did classical guitar either. It was beautiful to listen to, that's actually going to be your premiere episode, right?
Yes, and I'm excited.
When you guys got together, like, again, I'm not ever in the theater department, so I don't know. You don't really get to interact as much as I thought, like everybody did.
Mm-hmm.
So is it almost like you're kind of all working in your own area and then just occasionally you interact? What's it like there?
Well, I mean,
because that's kind of what my life is like.
Yeah. Well, I really am fortunate because in addition to teaching, I'm also the production coordinator. So I produce all of the performing arts productions. So I get to work with the music people and the theater people and, you know, anybody else, like our technical crew, our design staff.
Mm-hmm.
So I do have a lot of contact with.
And that's kind of what I thought. I thought you probably, given your role, interacted with everybody a little bit more. But again, in the conversation, I was surprised to hear that you didn't interact as much with Chris Rollins. But
I didn't. And, you know, it was just by chance that I learned that he played classical guitar, which is what, you know, piqued my interest to have him as a guest on the podcast.
And going back to the podcast, what are you hoping that folks take away from this beyond just knowing about the events that are happening?
I hope that they gain a better awareness of everything that LCC has to offer and also the community. Every production, we get people who come in and say, oh, I didn't know LCC had a rock band. I didn't know LCC had a dance class. So making people aware of what's available to them and maybe piquing their interest in getting them to come visit campus or go to another theater and see a show that's coming up.
Yeah. You mentioned community in there. Why do you believe it is important for any community, not just Lansing, but any community to support performing arts?
It's not just performing arts. It's all arts, I think, all creative arts. So in addition to theater and music and dance, you know, supporting independent filmmakers and artists, you know, paint artists, sculptors, anybody who's creating art and sharing that with the community. I think it brings the community closer together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hopefully they have some empathy for what the artist is trying to express or can connect to it on some level. And I think that's always important.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, I don't know, art is a reflection of our society. I think that Aristotle said that somewhere.
Well, if not, we can just say he did.
Yeah, he did.
So looking back at your career, both as an actor and director, is there one role or production that holds a special place in your heart? Is it that one that you were talking about earlier where you did the one-woman show?
No, it's really not. You know what
I'd name it, but you couldn't name it either.
I couldn't. Heart of a Dog, that's the name.
Heart of a Dog, I knew it would come to you if I said it.
Well, when I was in grad school, I decided to do one of my final shows in children's theater. And I have a love for children's theater that has stayed with me. So I think one of the most lovely shows that I did here was The Snow Queen.
Mm-hmm.
and we did it in Dart, and it was magical and lovely. And what is great is seeing young people in the audience, like kids, telling the little girl, don't go over there, the witch is coming, you know, hide, hide. So they get so invested in that, and it just makes me so happy. So that was great. I mean, little girls coming dressed in their princess dresses and to see the Snow Queen, and it was wonderful. It's just the children audience are so honest. They're so giving.
So the Snow Queen.
The Snow Queen. That was a wonderful experience.
I actually am happy to say I was the one that did the poster for that at that time.
Yeah. Nice. Nice.
Interesting. So as far as the kids go, is All of Us Express Children's Theater, is that still a part of our community?
It is. They're still around. So the fact that you didn't know they were is an indication that I need to have somebody from All of Us on
I think you definitely
podcast.
Should. Yeah, definitely should.
Yeah, they do a lot of great work with students and kids of all ages up to high school. And we actually have someone who works there who also works with us and is an alumni.
Oh, very cool.
Yes. Yeah. So see, that's that web I was telling you about.
It seems to be that way, especially when we're talking about me doing the poster and everything else. I mean, it just connects.
Right.
So you've worked with a lot of students over the years. Is there a production or a student moment that really stuck with you and reminded you how powerful the performing arts can be?
I don't think there's any one show. What I love to see with student actors during a performance, and it doesn't always happen as, you know, as much as you would think, is them totally immersed and 100% invested in that role. And so you see that they are that character. They just become that character, and it's solid. And knowing that I may have had a part of that is gratifying, but I really feel good for them too, because they know it. You know, when they come off stage, they're like, you know, they've had that moment.
Right.
And it's a great feeling for them and for us as well.
I can say that Greg Trimmer, he was doing Front Row Backstage for a while here, a podcast. Yeah. I can tell you that when he would have theater students in, they were the most enthusiastic and upbeat individuals ever. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were just a joy to talk to and just a lot of fun to be around. So
yeah,
I can only imagine what it would be like having, like, say, 30 of them in one place.
It's great. You know, I love the students here, especially in the students that I get to interact with, because, you know, we get a lot of students who come to LCC and they don't really know where they fit in. You know, they're trying to find a safe spot or a comfortable spot where they will be accepted, you know, unconditionally. And 99.9% of the time, it's in theater, you know.
Sure.
They're just so accepting and forgiving and open. And that's what I love about our students.
Very cool. So it's been about 40 years that you've been in theater, and not that I, you know, am I throwing that out there?
Yeah, it's 40-ish years, yes.
Yeah. You've probably seen a lot of things happen on stage, so tell me about one moment that you think about, and it still makes you get, either gives you a giggle, a laugh, or a smile. I don't care which one. Okay. That's a little bit of a giggle there.
Yeah, that is. I think it was a Shakespeare studio show in the Black Box, and one of the actors came out as a bear, but he was just acting like the bear. He wasn't like in a bear costume, but he didn't have a shirt on, and he was doing all this physicality, and the person on stage that he was coming out didn't realize that he wasn't going to have a shirt on. So when they turned around, they were like, what? You know, they kind of went up on their lines and tried to keep from laughing, but that was really funny. I always remember that.
All right. Is there a show that you're looking forward to that's coming up this year?
Well, I'm getting ready to do a show. Is that something I can talk about?
That's exactly why I asked you that.
Okay.
It sounds like a very appropriate one to do, and I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to actually try to get to it for sure.
Awesome. Well, for those who don't know what we're talking about, 1984, it's an adaptation by Nick Hearn. So it's not a reenactment of the book, but it's the adaptation is where Winston has already been arrested, you know, for thought crimes.
Okay.
And we see prisoners reenacting the event. So he is watching prisoners reenact those moments with Julia.
Oh.
So it's that approach to it, which is very effective. That's act one. And then act two, we get a little hairier. But it really focuses on the relationship between Winston and Julia, that love story.
Yeah.
Because it kind of encompasses everything that Big Brother is doing in that world.
Gotcha. All right, 1984. And this will be out before that. So
awesome. Hey, we open April 10th.
There you go. Get it in there. All right, we're about ready to close up shop, but I want to say thank you, Paige, for joining me on Behind the Connection. Really looking forward to listening to Exit Stage Left. Appreciate you creating the show. It's going to be a wonderful podcast, and I'm so glad you were able to join the LCC Connect team. So thank you.
Thank you.
Be sure to check out the new podcast. It's called Exit Stage Left, LCC Performing Arts. It's going to debut April 7th on LCC Connect. It's a Tuesday, and it'll be at 2 p.m. as always. The show is going to spotlight upcoming productions, creative voices, and the stories that make performing arts such an important part of our campus and community. Now, very last question I ask all of my guests. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you what it is because it is the rando question of the day.
Uh-oh.
And I do not even know myself. So here we go.
All right.
We're
going
to click the random question generator. Who was your favorite teacher and why?
Oh, my gosh. I'll go back to high school because this teacher was a wonderful human being. Her name was Doris Rutherford, and she taught journalism, and she also taught literature, English. And it was a very small school, very small. And she really encouraged me to pursue journalism. But in addition to that, she gave me access to her storage closet. And in her storage closet were all of these fantastic works of literature.
Mm.
And she said, you can take whatever you want, read it, bring it back, and to take some more. And through that, I read so many beautiful books. You know, that's where I was exposed to Maya Angelou. I read I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings and just got hooked on that. And it was just a beautiful gift that she gave me, and still think about her to this day.
Wow, that's a nice story right there.
Yeah.
That's a good one to finish on, too.
Thanks.
Strangest prop you've ever seen in a production?
Probably the one that's coming up.
What is it?
It is a antique metal head covering with electrodes coming out of it.
Oh, how fun.
Yeah.
No, that doesn't sound creepy at all.
No. Never seen one used.
This is LCC Connect.
Voices.
Vibes.
Vision.
Lansing Community College Performing Arts presents 1984 by George Orwell, adapted for the stage by Nick Hearn. Winston Smith has been in prison for committing thought crimes against Big Brother. As part of his re-education, he is forced to relive key moments from his past, reenacting his mistakes alongside other thought criminals so that all may learn from his failure, especially his greatest crime of all, falling in love with Julia. George Orwell's 1984 remains a powerful and chilling vision of life under totalitarianism, set against a world of surveillance, control, and fear. Featured in LCC's Dart Auditorium, April 10th through the 12th, and April 17th and 18th. All performances are free to attend. Visit lcc.edu/showinfo for showtime details.
Thank you for listening to LCC Connect. I'm Paul Schwartz, and I host a show called The Safety Plan. The Safety Plan is about the latest cyber scams and how to avoid them. You can catch The Safety Plan here on LCC Connect or listen anytime at lccconnect.org.
Get it, slip it, cuff it, check it. Talk to doctor now and share it.
I get it, slip it, cuff it, check it twice a day.
I get it, slip it, cuff it, check it in the morning and before dinner.
I get it, slip it, cuff it, check it, and share it with my doctor.
Nearly one in two U.S. adults have high blood pressure.
That's why it's important to self-monitor your blood pressure in 4 easy-to-remember steps. It starts with a monitor.
Now that I know my blood pressure numbers, I talked with my doctor. We're getting those numbers down.
Get it, slip it, cuff it, check it. Talk to doctor now and share it.
Be next to talk to your doctor about your blood pressure numbers. Get down with your blood pressure. Self-monitoring is power. Learn more at manageyourbp.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Heart Association, and the American Medical Association. In partnership with the Office of Minority Health and Health Resources and Services Administration.
The Lansing Community College Foundation provides scholarships that make education possible, change students' lives, and uplift our community. Students may apply for scholarships November 1st through January 31st. Learn more at lcc.edu/scholarships.
LCC.
Connect.
Voices.
Vibes.
Vision.
Welcome to the Star Zone. I'm Patty Spagnuolo. From resource fairs geared towards our students to arts and entertainment aimed to connect with our community, Lansing Community College hosts many events throughout the year, and the Star Zone gives you a rundown on what's on the way, where it's happening, and how you can get into the zone at LCC. Hello, everyone. This is Patty Spagnuolo. Today, my guest is Allison Snyder on the Star Zone. Allison is the secondary to post-secondary program coordinator in the Technical Careers Division. With 20 years of experience in higher education, she leads recruitment, outreach, and dual enrollment partnerships for the division. Allison, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Today we're talking about the Tech Forward Men of Color 2026 event being held at West Campus on Friday, April 10th from 8:30 a.m. to 12:15 p.m. I found the event name interesting and decided to conduct a little research. I came upon some disconcerting statistics. According to an article published in February 2023 from the McKinsey Institute for Economic Mobility, people of color make up only 8% of employees in tech jobs, and only 3% are at the executive level. This gap will widen as technology jobs are expected to increase into 2032. The wages will also increase, but people of color, if they do not shift to the technology industry, they won't experience that wage growth and the income disparity will worsen. So how does this event sort of assist with disrupting that trend?
So we're trying to create awareness. So it's an invitation to the community. We heavily promote this event to high school students, of course, because they're kind of that next generation coming up, but also anyone who is older, it doesn't matter the age, coming in. We want people to be aware that there are opportunities out there for them, that right now, especially in the trades, which we in technical careers focus on trades, public service careers, and computer information technology. Minorities are definitely the minority. It's pretty strong. And so we are just trying to make sure that there's awareness that this is an option for anyone. We have a similar event, Women in Trades and Technology, Public Service Careers as well. And same thing, you know, there's an underrepresentation as well with women in these career fields.
Absolutely.
So we just want to know, let them know what their options are.
Right. Is this the first year this event is being held?
It is not. I was not here at the inception of this event. This is my third year at LCC. I started in 2023. And I believe it started a few years prior to that, an idea that came about with the dean at the time. So to address this particular issue, that there is an underrepresentation.
Okay. So who should attend this event then?
Anyone. And really, even though it is geared toward men of color specifically, it is open to anyone who is interested in learning about technical careers, technical programs. So you will not be turned away at the door if you have an interest and want to learn more, because that's really what we aim to do, is to make prospective students of any age aware of what they can participate in here.
So when you say any age, it could be a mom that's sitting at home and wanting to get back into the workforce and saying, you know what, I'm going to see what they have to offer.
Yes, definitely.
Okay.
Yes.
And then you mentioned high schools, I think.
Yes.
So are we talking the greater Lansing area? Do you branch out even farther, like into the counties, the Clinton County, Eaton County, those kinds of areas?
Okay. So we do promote, really, for anything that we're doing at LCC or West Campus specifically, to the Slice region. So Shiawassee, Livingston, Ingham, Ionia, Clinton, and Eaton counties.
Awesome. So in the description, I see that there were hands-on activities. What kinds of things will be going on that day?
So we have multiple programs. We usually have about 8 programs that participate in this event, and it could be anything from welding, automotive, our drone program, and students get to spend 30 minutes with each program and actually try it out. So with welding, they're going to weld. With drones, they're going to fly a drone. And we want them to, you know, feel what it's going to be like to actually try out this particular program, career path, and see if it's a good fit for them, maybe spark some interest.
Wow. So I'm assuming there'll be faculty there that also run the program, so the students get that feel for, hey, I'm going to be working with this person to learn this trade or whatever. It makes it more familiar.
Yes. Faculty, lab techs, those are the people that will be running these hands-on sessions. And that's really a normal part of our visits at West Campus.
So is there an age limit? Like if you're doing welding, I would think you wouldn't be able to have a 6-year-old.
Correct. Okay. So yes.
Okay. All right.
You know, I don't think there's anything too old, but 12, like middle school, might be kind of the cap there.
Okay. Yep. Mm-hmm. I don't mean to like dog on 6-year-olds. Right. Some of them could probably tear it up.
Yeah,
I
probably
don't know.
Not
gonna my grandson probably could. I don't know.
We're not letting 6-year-olds play with fire today, but you know, middle school.
Yeah. Have a whole new kind of activity going on there, putting out a fire. So you briefly mentioned showing up. You wouldn't turn away, but I see there's registration required. Is that still
there? Is registration required just because there's a space restriction. So we can't take everybody that would like to come, but we usually cap at about 100 participants.
Okay.
Which is pretty good. 80 is kind of the sweet spot, but we'll take up to 100 for registration.
And how do people register for this?
They can go to the website, and it's on the events calendar on April 10th. You see it there, Tech Forward, Men of Color. They can just click on it and they can register. It's a pretty quick registration process.
Awesome. So I hear you have a well-known keynote speaker. Can you tell the listeners who it is and why he supports this event?
TJ Duckett is a former football player for MSU, and he also played in the NFL for a number of years. And this is kind of what he does. He encourages, he inspires, he speaks to a lot of different groups in the community. And so this is really in his wheelhouse, encouraging students to really take hold of opportunities that are set before them.
Awesome. And is he a Michigan native? I don't remember.
I believe he is a Michigan native.
I was thinking that too, but I don't know that for sure. So interesting, though. It's neat that I'm assuming he travels the country and does this kind of thing.
He does. We were excited to have him on board for this event.
Yes, absolutely. He probably comes back to his old stomping grounds of MSU at times.
Kalamazoo.
Oh, okay. So he's a Kalamazoo native. All right. Awesome. Little help there from the production crew.
Thank you.
Okay, so what will this day look like when people pull in at 8:30? What's this going to look like? Do they have to go through some sort of registration process? What do they do?
So when they come in, they'll check in at the registration table and we'll look to see that they're registered. If they're not registered and if there's space, we'll still allow them to participate in the event. But we do encourage everyone to register because prospective participants can select different program areas that they're interested in prior to coming, and that will help dictate which hands-on sessions they participate in at the event. Okay. So if they already have something that they're interested in, we want them to really get a taste of that while they're here. Okay. So they'll come in, they'll register, or they'll check in, they'll get their name tag, and it'll indicate which hands-on sessions that they will attend in the morning. And then they'll sit down, we'll have a light breakfast served, and the keynote will begin at 9. And so we'll have the keynote speaker and an interactive session between 9 and 10. And then students will, prospective students and attendees will move on to their hands-on sessions at 10 o'clock. And each of those will last about 30 minutes. They will come back to lunch. And during the lunch hour, it's about 45 minutes, they'll also have a resource fair. So industry partners, businesses, as well as campus resources like admissions, financial aid, Center for Student Access will also be there manning tables to share information with the attendees.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. So you probably mentioned this and I forgot, but are families, like, will whole families come to this? Like, moms and dads bring their kids and that type of thing?
Yeah, that definitely will happen. I even thought about bringing my son. He'll be in sixth grade in the fall, so I thought maybe I could bring him with me. So, you know, it's a great event for an entire family, yes, because everyone can get something from it. And so if you have young men in your house, please bring them, because we love to expose them to what we have at West Campus. This is a great time to get into trades specifically. There is a lack of people in trades nationwide, and so there's a lot of room to get in and to get started and for growth in that industry.
Awesome. Sounds like a great event. What is the main takeaway, if you were to put it into a few words? What do you hope students walk away with? What are you trying to encourage?
We hope that they'll see themselves in something in technical careers. There's something that will spark their interest that says, oh, I didn't know that, or I didn't realize that was something I could do, or maybe I knew someone already that did that and I didn't realize that's what it was. So just a clarification on what technical careers are and what opportunities exist within industry, within the world, and even for a personal benefit. You know, we want them to know that these are skills that you can take with you for life, whether you use them in a career, whether you use them, you know, at your own house, right? You take a construction class. You know, this is something that you can use every day.
Yeah, it's kind of like, it's almost like a mini job shadow.
It is.
You know, I say that about the programs at LCC so often, is the name sometimes just doesn't resonate with what you would actually be doing day to day. So these hands-on activities are so important, because you might not know what you really like or something that you don't really like, and all of a sudden it's put before you and you think, okay, I guess I'm not doing that. But those are good things to sort out and to know.
Exactly.
So is there anything else you want to add about this day or how you feel about this program? Or
Tech Forward Men of Color always has a really great energy, I will say, and there's always just a really good vibe. And so, and you can feel it in the room. It's got this palpable energy there. And so I encourage everyone who is at least a little bit interested to come and see what we have. I think a lot of students, a lot of parents, a lot of counselors that come visit our campus are continuously surprised at what we offer within the Technical Careers Division. And they know someone who it could benefit, whether it's in their classroom or in their household or themselves,
awesome,
for that matter.
All right. Well, that's the Tech Forward Men of Color 2026 event on Friday, April 10th at LCC's West Campus. For more information, visit lcc.edu/calendar. I want to thank my guest, Allison Snyder. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you all for listening. This is Patty Spagnolo wishing you well, everyone. Thanks for joining us here on the Star Zone. For more information on this episode, visit lccconnect.org. You can also find a complete list of Lansing Community College events by visiting lcc.edu/calendar. Until next time, thanks for getting into the zone.
Examining the issues and topics that affect our lives from the local level to the world stage. Listen to the programs of LCC Connect anytime at lccconnect.org.
LCC
Connect.
Voices.
Vibes.
Vision.
Every year, the Dental Hygiene Clinic at Lansing Community College provides essential services to people in the mid-Michigan community. Open to the public, the clinic is led by a licensed dental faculty and provides a platform for LCC dental students with the opportunity to hone their dental hygiene skills. Associated fees apply to clinic services. To find more information, visit lcc.edu/dentalclinic.
Keep yourself connected with what's happening in mid-Michigan by joining us for Community Convos, a show from LCC Connect, where we talk with the people who put the festive in our festivals and those that give traction to our attractions. Find out who's on the convo and listen on demand at lccconnect.org.
Guys, like having a place to live?
Eating food, wearing clothes, sending 639 texts a week on a shiny new phone. There's one thing that can help you get the money to do all of those things. It's called a job. If you're a guy turning 18, there's one important thing you need to do to make sure the job market is wide open for you. Register with the Selective Service System at SSS.gov. Failing to register with Selective Service would mean you'd not only be breaking the law, you'd also be unable to apply for federal jobs, many state and municipal jobs, and all kinds of job training programs the government offers. So guys, take a minute and register with the Selective Service. You'll keep your job prospects open. Otherwise, how are you going to get the basketball shoes with full-length responsive cushioning and an outsole cutout for low-profile impact protection? Take that minute. Go to SSS.gov and register with Selective Service and keep all your options open. Remember, it's quick, it's easy, it's the law.
Returning to school can be a challenge. If you're a recent high school grad, a new Michigan Reconnect participant at LCC, or a GED holder, we want to help you succeed with extra support in reading, writing, and math. LCC's Coalition for College and Career Readiness presents College Connect, a four-week, no-cost initiative created to prepare students with the tools needed to succeed at LCC. College Connect begins in July, but seating is limited. To find deadline and enrollment information, visit lcc.edu/cc.
LCC.
Connect.
Voices.
Vibes.
Vision.
Hey, 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 this is Lisa A., and you're listening to Who's That Star on LCC Connect at Lansing Community College. Who's That Star is a behind-the-scenes show where I sit down and talk with the employees at the college. This is an inside look at LCC, where you have a chance to learn about their passions, projects, and what inspires them both in their work and personal lives. I'm your host, Lisa Alexander, and I'm so excited to get a chance to talk to all the people who make LCC great. This show is for you to get to know the people that work at Lansing Community College a little bit more and see what makes them tick. Are you ready? Okay, let's find out who's that star. Today's episode is all about purpose, resilience, and what it really means to show up for others, especially during times of change. My guest today is someone whose work has always centered on helping people move forward, whether that's in their personal lives, their communities, or their educational journeys. No matter where life has taken them across Michigan, one thing has stayed consistent: a deep commitment to supporting others as they work towards their goals. With a background rooted in both creative thinking and social work, today's star brings a unique blend of empathy, insight, and real-world experience to higher education. After spending years working in clinical and community-based roles, this star found himself drawn towards work that allowed him to support students in a more holistic way. A pull that ultimately led him to Lansing Community College, where his passion for student success continues to grow. Outside of work, today's star values family, enjoys slowing down with a good book or a movie, and is always up for a good conversation about Michigan State sports and Detroit Lions. So, are you guys ready to meet today's star? Drum roll, please. Today's star is Jason Britton. Jason, welcome to Who's That Star? I'm so glad that you're here.
Yeah, thank you for having me on, Lisa. I've been really looking forward to being on your show for a while now.
Yes. Took a minute for us to get here, but we finally got here. So let's get started. So when people really know you, how would they describe you?
Well, you said not to cuss on the show, so I won't. But most people would describe me as pretty laid back. I don't get too worked up about things. I don't really get too angry or too high or too low. Just pretty even keel. Most of my friends would describe me as kind, I hope. Mm-hmm. Funny, can be kind of goofy at times. Yeah, I'm sure there's probably some things I'm missing, but those are kind of the things that pop into my head right away.
Yeah, and that's what we can say, so we'll keep those. We'll keep it clean for our audience today. what is your role here at LCC, and how do you usually explain what you do?
So I'm an academic success coach here. And so basically, a lot of people kind of get my job mixed up with an academic advisor's job. Mm-hmm. The way I kind of differentiate the two is an academic advisor will help you with what to do, whereas a success coach will help you with how to do it.
Okay.
So whereas an advisor might tell someone, hey, you got to take English, ACAD, and math this semester, that same student would talk to me or one of our other success coaches about strategies to be successful in that class, time management, study habits, different things to kind of bring about that classroom success.
So how did you find your way to Lansing Community College?
I took the scenic route to get there. I was initially a therapist, like a psychotherapist for several years, working in social work field for years, but I always felt the pull towards higher education. I saw some opportunities open up at LCC and I applied and didn't get called back, but that's all right.
Mm-hmm.
I kept on applying for different positions. Eventually, I saw academic success coach, kind of did some research about what that role entails and applied, and the rest is history.
So what keeps you coming back to LCC?
On my paycheck. I'm playing. a lot of the relationships that I've made along the way with students, getting to kind of know them, getting to kind of see what best helps them, what best serves them. And the relationships I've made with some of my coworkers and faculty, different faculty members, different staff, I mean, those relationships are invaluable. My personal feeling is, regardless of the type of work you do, who you work with, the type of environment that you're in can really make a difference in whether or not you get up to come to work every day.
That's so true. You're right about that. I know for me, a lot of the draw to come back to LCC is the people that I work with and the students that I see. Do you work with a specific type of student?
Yeah, mainly my population is business students.
Okay.
So, you know, these are students who are looking to maybe be an accountant down the road or,
right,
you know, do something with business. And for me, it's really rewarding to meet them when they first come to LCC, you know, fresh out of high school or maybe even coming back after several years. And kind of seeing that growth over time,
right?
That's so rewarding for me. That might be the main thing besides my paycheck that keeps me coming back to work every day.
Yeah, no, it is. That is the relationships that we develop. And I know as a success coach, you get to have a really personal relationship with your students, right? You get to understand some of the trials and tribulations. Do you think from your past, you can see yourself in your students?
Oh, absolutely. I think about myself as a teenager, and I really am amazed that I'm alive and employed today. I meet a lot of students who are dealing with a lot of different issues, and I can relate to that. Growing up, I was a 17-year-old father.
Yeah.
It was not easy. I had to work full-time, go to school. Had to juggle a lot of things that a typical 17, 18-year-old doesn't have to deal with. And so with a lot of my students, especially when they're dealing with those problems that feel a little bit too big for them,
mm-hmm.
I really enjoy talking to them, getting to know them outside of maybe the classroom. Yeah, it's just super rewarding for me to do that, to help students kind of overcome those barriers and obstacles.
Yeah, because I mean, I didn't know that about you, that you were like a teen parent, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
And to be able to go work, go to school, get a bachelor's degree, and then go on to get a master's degree, that's not easy to do.
No.
And I think it just makes you so much more credible to some people sometimes when they're going through things, that they're like, wow, he did this. I can hear his story, and he made it. I can do it. And so I think that is something that I know we don't supposed to overshare, but that's something that I think could benefit students to know.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, especially when you're dealing with students from maybe underserved areas. I mean, I went to a underserved high school, quote unquote, And so a lot of the things that these students experience, a lot of the things that they're maybe missing or didn't experience, I can kind of speak on that from my own personal experience.
Yeah, no, you're right. And I think that's great. And I think that's just one of the great things about LCC is that we have a diverse employee pool. You know what I mean? Like, everybody has done something. They've had life experiences that can help and relate to students to show them that despite this or because of this, you can still make it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Especially, like, I was born in Saginaw, Michigan, and I don't know if everybody's familiar with that area. I was born in Saginaw, Michigan in the 80s. Mm. So it wasn't, like, the most glamorous or most prosperous life. And to make it out of that takes a lot of work, a lot of luck, and a lot of perseverance. You're going to fail more than you succeed, but the important thing is not giving up.
No, you're right, and that's true. You are going to fail a lot more than you succeed, but it's that getting back up that makes a difference. Well, it sounds like you have a good place here. You found your place and the students that you can help, but who are you outside of work?
Mm. Outside of work, I am really boring. I'm just being honest. Outside of work, if it's Monday through Friday, you can find me at home. You can find me in the living room watching something on TV, reading, checking out a movie or something. Like, I am very boring outside of work.
I find that hard to believe, Jason. If you don't mind me asking, you said you had a family.
Mm-hmm.
Could you tell me a little bit about your family?
Oh, yeah, sure. Got my wife, my daughters, my son. My son lives in Grand Rapids. He's, you know, living life. He had his first kid, about a year and some change ago, my first grandson.
Beautiful.
Yep, loving that grandparent life. Teenage daughters at home, they always keep me on my toes.
How old are they?
13 and 15.
Oh, yes, yes.
And so, you know, they like I said, they keep me on my toes. I end up just being a referee most of the time when I'm dealing with them, just trying to keep them from killing each other. just, you know, the little things.
Right. Well, what helps you recharge or brings you joy?
As far as recharging goes, I'm kind of an introvert. So I extrovert all day long. So for me, what helps me recharge is just to be in a quiet place. Just honestly, just a quiet place allows me to kind of recharge mentally and emotionally. Something that brings me joy outside of work. I'm kind of a nerd, so I play video games, read books, talking to different family members, different friends. Mm. Just kind of helps kind of replenish me after a long day.
So you talk about video games. Right now, my daughter has an Xbox. But yeah. She's thinking about getting a PS5. Mm-hmm. Do you have an alliance?
Now, see, all right, I have an Xbox, and I'm kind of like your daughter. I'm thinking of switching over to the PS5. But for now, I'll make it work with the Xbox. That PS5 is coming. It is coming.
Yeah. What games do you like? Like, what type of games do you play?
Usually I play, like, sports games like Madden or okay. NBA 2K. Or right now I'm playing college football. Sometimes I like playing role-playing games. So right now I'm also playing this game called Hades. Pretty cool game. I enjoy it. Yeah, some first-person shooters. So
okay. You
know, like your Call of Duty-type games.
Okay.
But for the most part, just sports and role-playing games.
It seems like that's another thing that could bring you closer to your students that you work with, because a lot of people are into gaming now.
What you trying to say, Lisa? I'm not mature enough?
No. Like. I'm saying that you would have things to talk about with your student, and it can engage, you know, have a good conversation, and they can be like, oh, he likes something that I like. Because I wouldn't know the first thing about any of those games. Xbox, PS5, PS4, I don't know, none of that.
Well, see, when I was coming up, all that stuff was just coming out. So, I mean, the first Nintendo came out, I think I was like 5 or 6 when that came out. So, okay. I mean, that was the greatest. And so I kind of grew up with these video game systems.
It's very relatable to you.
Yeah.
So then is that something that you like to use to unwind the games?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Kind of play the game, unwind after a long day. Sometimes I'll get online and play with my son, just stomp him out in Madden real quick.
I know he's going to love hearing that.
You know, just stomp him out real quick.
Mm-hmm. So I know I read in the bio you had things that you would have a good conversation about Michigan State sports or the Detroit Lions. So does that mean that you root for Michigan State?
Oh, come on now, Lisa. Yeah, of course.
Okay, I didn't know because there are some other people back in your office that don't. So I just wanted to clarify. And so you root for Detroit Lions as well?
Yeah. It ain't always been easy. the first, 40 years or so was a little difficult to be a Lions fan. But these last 4 years, it's been pretty cool. Pretty cool being a Lions fan.
It has. And so I know during this time, you're kind of getting sad because there's only one game left.
Yeah, I mean, it's one game left, but, you know, I'm going to enjoy it. Check it out maybe with some friends or something. Eat a whole lot of unhealthy food. It'd be a lot better if the Lions made it.
Oh, it would have been great. It would have been a wonderful week if the Lions had made it.
See, I don't know if Michigan could handle that, though, if the Lions made the Super Bowl and the Pistons are good at the same time.
Oh, I know.
And the Red Wings are good at the same time. I don't think the state of Michigan could handle that much positivity all at once.
They would have been too much, huh?
Too much.
I know. I would. I want to find out, though. Please, one day, let's all of us get in sync and get a Super Bowl, another championship. And what's the Red Wings? What did they get?
Oh, the Stanley Cup.
Stanley Cup, yeah. Can we get all of that?
Oh, man. If we got all of that at once, I could go ahead and die and have no regrets.
He said you'll be good to go.
Yeah, I'll be good to go.
All right. Well, that's so funny to me because I know you're not by yourself. A lot of people would be just so happy. But let me ask you, do you consider yourself an introvert, an extrovert, or somewhere in between?
Well, like I said earlier, I consider myself an introvert. I could literally sit by myself all day and be fine. I do extroversion. I don't particularly enjoy it all the time, but
yeah.
I know it's, you know, you got to deal with people in this life. But yeah, I'm definitely more of an introvert.
See, that, and I wouldn't have thought that, but as you say that and I think about it, I would consider myself an introvert, kind of. But when I'm at work, I have to be extroverted. And so I understand that. And so, when you say I do extrovert, I know how to do it, but that's really not my personality. I would like to be more laid back.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes it's funny. My stepdad said this to me years and years ago. He would tell me how he would, forget I was in the house sometimes because I would just be in my room doing my own thing, reading a book or something like that. And, Jason, you here?
Not bothering nobody.
Yeah.
And did you have siblings?
Yeah, 5 sisters.
Oh, wow. Oh, okay. You have 5 sisters. That's a lot. Are you the youngest or oldest?
Oh, no. I got 5 sisters, 1 brother, and I'm dead in the middle.
Oh, okay. Okay, middle child. You think you have those characteristics? They say the middle child syndrome.
I don't think so, but I mean,
I need to ask the other people.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of stay out the way, stay to myself. I'm like that Homer Simpson meme, just disappearing into the bushes.
Okay. Well, I got a couple of more questions. What's a lesson life has taught you?
That's a good one. A lesson life has taught me is let go of expectations. If you'd have asked me when I was 13 years old if I expected to be working at a college with a family and being relatively happy, that would not have been an expectation for me.
Hmm.
But life has a funny way of kind of putting you in situations that you need to be in. And so when you go into things with a lot of expectations, you kind of limit yourself at times because instead of focusing on what you are experiencing or what you are getting, you're thinking about what it should be or what you expected it to be and how what's going on may or may not live up to your expectations.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to carry that lesson everywhere, is to just be more accepting of what's in front of me versus trying to make things fit into what I expect them to be, if that makes sense.
It does. No, it does. It is limiting, I guess, when you have your kind of sometimes like a fixed mindset, you know, like you think I expect this to happen, I expect that to happen. And sometimes those things can be positive, but sometimes they can also be a hindrance to you. And so I think that's some good advice, right?
Oh, yeah. I forgot who told me this a long time ago, but they were just telling me one of the worst things we do to ourselves is talk about what we should do. I should be doing this. I'm doing this thing, but I should be doing this other thing. Mm-hmm. Because it detracts from your appreciation of what you are doing.
Right.
You're not focused on the moment. You're focused on this imaginary expectation of what you should be doing.
I like that. I think I'm going to start trying to keep that in my mind and give myself some grace, because I know a lot of times I'm a woulda, shoulda, coulda. Doing this, not doing that. So I appreciate that word right there. So let me ask you a last question pretty much. What advice would you give to someone who's trying to find their place at LCC?
Somebody trying to find their place at LCC?
They're a new hire. They're coming in. They don't know. Or if they're a student and they're new and they're trying to find their place, if you can talk about either one or both.
I'll talk about both. I would give the same advice to both. It's just be yourself. A lot of the time when people go into new environments or are around new people, they sometimes forget to just be themselves and they try to fit into what they think is acceptable behaviors or fit into what the group is doing, when oftentimes the group needs you to be yourself, to bring what you bring, you know, as an individual to the group. So don't be afraid to try new things. Don't be afraid to experience new people, but be yourself in all of those interactions. Be genuine, because if you're fake, the people who do kind of gravitate towards you aren't really gravitating to the genuine person that you are. They're more gravitating to this persona that you've kind of presented.
Mm-hmm.
So that'd be my advice. Be yourself. Whether people like you or don't like you, that's their problem.
I like that, though, really. And that's the thing that, yeah, we worry about that a lot, sometimes too much. Well, Jason, I want to thank you so much for sharing your story and your heart with us today. It's been a joy having you on Who's That Star. Is there anything you'd like to say before you leave?
Yeah, come check out my podcast, Student Success Stories. It's on the LCC Connect Network. We'll be doing some new episodes coming up shortly. It's myself, another academic success coach, Laz Lane, Dominique Vaughn, Larry Smith, Brendan Finnerty. We're really looking forward to interviewing some students and getting some success stories. So, yeah, shameless plug in the middle of somebody else's podcast.
That's okay. That's all right. We family. And I definitely want, I think it's important because you guys showcase some really, you know, positive things on your show. So I'm excited. All right. Who's That Star family? Until next time. You've been listening to Who's That Star. I'm Lisa A., and you can listen to this episode of Who's That Star and other shows from LCC Connect anytime online at lccconnect.org. Thank you for listening. Catch me next time to find out who's that star.
This is WLNZ Lansing. You're listening to LCC Connect, a weekly program that features the voices, vibes, and vision of Lansing Community College. To find out more about LCC Connect programs or to listen on demand, visit us at lccconnect.org.
LCC
Connect.
Voices.
Vibes.
Vision.